You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Hello, hello, hello. It's good to see everybody in the room this morning. If you're watching online, it's great to be with you as well. Who's ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Awesome. My message today is called Eternal Life. And, you know, not something that we hear a lot of teaching on. When I was growing up, I felt like I used to hear it all the time. And I just want to bring us back to some truths of the Word of God. What God has for each and every single one of us. So my prayer for each and every single person in the room today, those who are watching online and those who are watching a later date, is this, that let the closest heart be revived and let the furthest heart be restored. Amen. Regardless of who you are in the room, whether you fit at that end, or somewhere in between, be revived and be restored by God's word today. So like I was saying, maybe you haven't heard any teaching around eternal life, or perhaps church has just been something that you attended. You know, today's message, I truly believe, is going to open you up to the fullness of God's heart towards you. Loves you so much, loves you so deeply. So let me start by making this statement today. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to give you eternal life. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. All you need to do is believe. And it says this in John 3:16 and 17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's how much he loves each and every single one of us. The entire basis, maybe you haven't heard it said like this, but the entire basis for the outworking of Christian belief revolves around the fact that because of sin, we were separated from our personal relationship with God. And because of this, God made a way for us to no longer be separated. This is the basis for our eternal life. God sent Jesus so that we'd no longer be separated from him. I feel like the Apostle Paul says it really, really well in Romans 5, verse 21. That's what it says. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Once we were without hope, once we were slaves to sin, now the grace of God, Jesus, makes us right with God. And because of that, we have eternal life. I don't know about you, but that excites me. No longer by ourselves, no longer without hope, no longer slaves to sin, because God sent Jesus to be our eternal Savior. See, this is the hope that is available for all humanity. It's not available for a select few. You have to sign a membership form and join a club. That's available for all humanity. Available for you, available for everyone in your family, available for the extended population of Geelong and the globe. Amen? Amen. John 5:24 says this, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me, have eternal life. Listen to that again. Have eternal life. It's going to make sense in a moment. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. See, Jesus, sent by God, performed miracles, healed and set people free of their sin, set free of their shame, all the condemning behaviors and thoughts, set free of. And because of his love for you, he outworked the greatest exchange of all time. Maybe you've had this thing in your head that you have to come bearing the load of your sin and your guilt and your shame. No, because of Jesus, you've been set free. You've been brought into truth and you have eternal life when you receive Jesus. So he outworked the greatest exchange of all time, exchanging the sin of the world for his perfection. Exchanging your sin for his perfection. Exchanging sin for forgiveness and eternal life. It's true for most of us that in ourselves, we went the way of sin. When I say most of us, I mean Jesus didn't. But most of us did, except for Jesus. We chose to live without God. We pursued what satisfied our souls. We eventually became slaves to the needs of our soul, slaves to the dysfunction of our souls. My message for all of us today is God wants to help you with that. God wants to help you with that. He doesn't want you to be a slave to sin or a slave to the dysfunction of your soul at all, ever. He wants to bring freedom and healing and restoration in that for all of us. He wants to bring forgiveness to your life for the pursuit of your soul. He wants to bring healing to your soul for trying to fix the broken parts with things that only destroyed your mind and your body and your spirit even more than they were before. See, with Jesus, you'll never be condemned for your sin. You'll never be a slave to sin any longer. In fact, the scripture says with Jesus, you've already passed from death to life when you receive him. With Jesus, your eternal life starts now. So the question with that last statement, already people are like, did he just say eternal life starts now? The question is going to be up on the screen for you. Could it be that you've been under the assumption that eternal life starts when you get to heaven? Could it be the focus on when we get there rather than that you've already passed from death into eternal life when you receive Jesus? John 3:35-36. The Father loves the Son and has given him power over everything. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Not is waiting for, not is praying for Jesus to come back, not is waiting for the rapture. No, has eternal life. Not is praying that Jesus takes me home tomorrow because I can't deal with this anymore. Has eternal life, has forgiveness of sin. But those who do not obey the Son will never have that. They cannot get away from God's anger. And I want to encourage you, God does not want to direct anger at anyone. John 3:16-17. Didn't want to judge the world, wanted to save the world through Jesus. So if you're waiting for God's glorious gift of eternal life to start after you leave this earth, you are missing out on living eternity with Jesus now. Enjoy your freedom from sin now. Live like a person free from sin now. Don't wait. The following passage of scripture they're going to jump into this morning, Romans 6, there is some serious gold in these passages of scripture for all of us today. So now that you know that eternal life is a gift and a blessing that is given to everybody who believes in Jesus, what should be the posture of someone who is living their eternal life every single day? What should daily living look like for someone who has eternal life? Love these passages of scripture, Romans 6. It really gives us a clear picture of what we've been set free of and the glorious life that we can be living now. Even though there's challenges that we face every day, this is our state of living now, eternal life. Romans 6:14-16 says this. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? Let's just sit there for a moment. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living, living right, the way that God has called us to live. So two things for this morning. When you receive Jesus, sin is no longer your master. Oh, but Pastor, like, if you only knew the battle in my mind every day. Absolutely, but it's not your master anymore. Have the revelation this morning that sin is not your master anymore. Does it bombard you and keep trying to come back at you? Probably, but it's not your master anymore. Live with the authority and righteousness, and when it comes at you, call it out for what it is. It's like, that is not me anymore. It's not my master anymore. Second thing, now you're living under grace. Really important for us to understand that. Our master is not sin anymore. Our satisfying our souls, we live under the grace of the Lord Jesus. So I think we need to clarify some things, because it's great for me to say that, but what does it actually mean? What does it mean? What is grace? It's probably the first question, right? People was like, who's grace? Like, where does she come into the picture? See, the grace of God is his unmerited favor. It's given to us because we believed in Jesus. Not because we finished a Cert 2 course. Not because we reached legend or champ status at something. It's because of Jesus that we receive God's unmerited favor on our life. So according to this passage of Scripture in verse 14, when we believe, we live under his favor. We live under his favor. Rather than sin being our master, Jesus becomes Lord of our life, and all the favor and all the blessings and everything that was unmerited becomes merited because of God's blessing upon our lives. So verse 15, I believe, sums it up perfectly. Just because we're free from sin mastering lives, does this mean that we can go on sinning in the wake of God's free gift of grace and eternal life and his favor? The statement is, of course not. See, God's favor, God's grace encourages us and empowers us to resist sin and excel at living righteously. It's about getting the mind of Christ on this rather than being bombarded with the condemning thoughts that have maybe controlled us for way too long. Let's jump a little bit further forward into chapter 6. And for us to receive Jesus, to be free from sin mastering our lives, to abide in his grace and pursue righteous living, we need to capture a firm grasp on allowing the power of God to bring change to our behaviors. It's a must for each and every single one of us, self-included. See, particularly our sinful behaviors or sinful practices or what we may refer to as the parts of our lives that show themselves because of other people's behavior. Preaching to myself this morning, amen. For example, examples are always good because it helps us clarify it. I'm not saying it's their fault, but if they just didn't do that, I wouldn't act like this. And the justification to that train of thought could be, it's not a sinful reaction because it's just cause and effect. They caused this emotional reaction in me. It's a bit quiet. So, for example, this guy I know was at Bunnings this week buying 5 ceiling fans for his house. And when he was taking them back to his car, this guy pulled over the footpath in front of him as he was trying to take the fans to his car. And the guy looked at him and got out of his car and just walked away. And this guy that I know had to walk 3 extra meters with 5 fans to put them in the back of his Toyota Kluger. And then I struggled with the fact that I was a little bit upset with everything that I wanted to leave my trolley in front of his car just to send a message. And I got in my car and then got out of my car because you have to choose not to activate that bad behavior and sinful practice. Are you going to choose that, or are you going to rise above the fact, Lee, that you need to let grace empower you to step into the righteous living and not do stupid things like that? Amen. This guy I knew. When you live in grace, it gets harder and harder to justify behavior like that. It gets harder and harder to justify behavior that is contrary to the forgiveness that Jesus has justified you from. This leads us into verse 22 and 23 of Romans 6. But now that you've found that you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do, and you've discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now, with more and more life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. You don't have to listen and let sin tell you what to do anymore. But when you choose to outwork your righteousness, it brings delight and it shows a maturity and a wholeness of what God has been doing in your life. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You're a work in progress. You're on the way. And when you activate these things, your life is looking more and more like Jesus in your spirituality and your emotional self. Verse 23, I had some thoughts around verse 23 this week. You know, it says there in this translation, work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. Other versions say it's for the wages of sin is death. Now, I think it's really important for us to talk about this today. Often when we read scriptures like this, we think in absolutes. When I say absolutes, rightly so, we should read the scriptures in absolutes, but we should also look at it in other ways as well. Because it doesn't just mean one thing. It's relevant to our life right now, not just the end of our time on planet Earth. God's scripture wants to be relevant to us in our everyday life and outwork in our lives. You know, see, when we outwork our lives separated from God and we live in pursuit of what makes our soul feel good, ultimately, it results to eternity without God if we don't receive the salvation of Jesus. But can I ask you to add this thought process to this passage of Scripture? Could it be that there are areas of your life, area of our lives, where sinful practice is still bringing death to your life now? Don't reject the thought yet. Just hang in there for a moment. Could there be that there's behaviors that are bringing death to your life in the relationships that you have in your life, with the people that are closest to you, with work colleagues? Perhaps some examples around this are best to help bring some clarity of thought to it. Maybe using hard, impactful words that bring people down are bringing death to relationships within your family, with your husband, your wife, your children, external family members. Maybe that emotional connection you have with another person who is not your husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend is about to bring an end to the God-given relationship that God has for you. Perhaps that addiction to TV, magazines, the internet, media, news, conspiracy messages, taking all the focus and your time and attention away from the people and the relationships that need you the most. perhaps the intimacy of your marriage is in need of a revival, but because one or both of you are seeking fulfillment from other avenues, be it in the form of media or other codependent relationships about to bring death. Sinful practices, sinful behavior, it can bring death right now to the gifts that God has given you. I know it's heavy, but it's really important for us to get a grasp of this. God's called us to live in eternal life and activate his righteousness now, not bring death to those who are closest to us, to those relationships. See, I highlight these things today, but because when you believed these things, when you believe that these things don't have to master your soul anymore, when you believe that you are justified and forgiven through Jesus, now it's time to be transformed by the grace and power of God. Have these behaviors and these thoughts renewed and have these relationships revived. See, maybe this brings a spotlight, maybe to some things that have gone wrong in your past this morning. I want to encourage you, don't let condemnation and shame come and rest on you this morning. These things are things that have happened in the past and you've been forgiven of those things. But God wants to reignite something within you that calls you to the righteousness that he's bestowed upon you through Jesus. Maybe there's some things that have happened in the past and maybe they're undealt with. Maybe some your choices or somebody else's choices. Death has come to relationships, friendships, marriages, and it's not too late to ask God to highlight some things for you to see clearly. Are there some areas that you need to seek forgiveness in? Are there some areas that you need to come to a place where you can learn to offer forgiveness in? Are there some areas that you need to activate new practices in? Whether it's for current relationships or future ones. He's given you the free gift of eternal life, the grace of God that empowers you to follow righteous living. But we ask the question again, but how? It's important for us to know, but how, isn't it? Firstly, can I encourage you when you're trying to figure out a new way to live, righteous living, when you're trying to do away with bad practices, can I encourage you, the first thing we need to do is bring it to God. Bring it to God. Offer yourself and your issue to him. Allow him to heal those deep places that have caused sin and the behaviors and the practices. I want to encourage you with this morning. Normally, our sin doesn't start as sin. Normally, it comes from a person who sinned against us. We just don't wake up when we're like 23 and it's like, I'm going to go and like do this today. Normally, bad sinful practices and behaviors start from something that happened many, many years ago. Whether it was a parent speaking really abusively to us, whether it was a parent who was neglectful, whether it was something that happened at school in the schoolyard, whether it's something that happened in a marriage and a relationship, where we end up is normally the basis of other things. But I want to encourage you today, you don't have to stay in that place. See, a harsh word that hurts us becomes a hurt that then speaks harshly to others. Someone outworks a sin against us, and then to medicate the pain, we choose a dependency, which is normally a bad practice and a sinful behavior. So, bring it to God. Offer yourself and the issue. How do you do that? You can do it one-on-one with him. You can catch up with a pastor. You can come for prayer at the end of a service up the front. There's multiple ways that you can do that. Secondly, don't do it alone. Reach out. Reach out to a pastor, a counselor, a professional. The caveat is that is going to help you. Reach out to someone that is going to help you. Not someone that's going to affirm the behaviors because you have a right. Please reach out to someone who's going to help you. generally, people who are our peers are going to say what we want to hear. Lots of people who have qualifications that perhaps aren't qualified to give you the spiritual input and the practical input that you need. Find someone good. If you're trying to find someone good, come and have a chat to us. We can refer you to someone that's good. Amen. Firstly and secondly, this is how we begin to outwork our eternal life. This is how we begin to outwork our righteousness. Titus 2 verses 11 and 12 said this, For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to godliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. With everything that's going on around us at the moment, in this present age, God's power, released through Jesus, can cause us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. God's grace teaches us and empowers us. Last passage of scripture for this morning. Romans 3, 24 to 26 says this. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus, who sets them free. You know, maybe you've been wondering, whether you're watching online or you're in the room this morning, maybe you've been wondering, can God love me? Can God ever do anything good with my life? Can God redeem my life? I've been chasing to satisfy my soul for so long. I've been attending church. I've been literally chasing what my soul desires. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus. God offered him so that by his blood, he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. God did this in order to demonstrate that he is righteous. In the past, he was patient and overlooked people's sins. But in the present time, he deals with their sins in order to demonstrate his righteousness. In this way, God shows himself that he is righteous. And that he puts right everyone who believes in Jesus. See, God's gift for you through Jesus is forgiveness, relationship with God, eternal life, and a whole other life that you didn't think was humanly possible. Freedom from condemnation. A heart that loves and can be loved. I just want to encourage each and every single one of us. Now is the time to accept his offer and be forgiven. Now is the time to be made right with God. Now is the time to live eternal life. Why don't we just close our eyes for a moment this morning? You know, maybe you're in the space this morning and maybe you've known of God, known of Jesus, but haven't had the opportunity to know him personally, haven't had the opportunity to be forgiven of sin, haven't had the opportunity to be restored into a relationship with God. Whether you're in the room or online, I want to give you the opportunity today to receive eternal life from God through Jesus, to be known by God, to know God personally. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer of believing in Jesus. The Bible says when we believe in Jesus, we confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is Lord, that we're accepted by God and loved by God and no longer separated from God, free of sin, restored and loved. In a moment, we're going to ask all of us to pray a prayer after me. And if you're praying this for the first time or you know that you need to get back into a healthy relationship with God, can I invite you to pray this prayer? Everyone's going to join in with you. If you're watching online, pray this prayer after me as well. Why don't we pray? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to save all, to save me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and you raised him. from this day on, I surrender my life and I live under your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, if you pray that prayer for the first time or you prayed it again because it was just time to get back into that healthy place with God, can I encourage you, don't leave it there. There's so much more for you to outwork the eternal life that God's called you to now. Already, it's done. If you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there to get into contact with us, to know what to do next in following Jesus.